Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there. Mark 11, beginning in verse 20. Mark 11, beginning in verse 20. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate that reading. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're with us today. We hope that you fill out a card and come back at any opportunity that you can. We have a continuation of where we were last week. I knew last week what today's lesson will be, and even last week, this week, what next week's lesson will be, Lord willing. But yet I want to say that, as I said last week or next week, it's not a question of what does the Bible say. The question is what will we do? We go from this place. And of course, as it already said, it's the 9/11 anniversary. And in that context, thousands got up that day and did not know it was the last day of their life. We were shocked. We were surprised. You probably remember exactly where you were when that happened. Most people are. And yet 8,000 Americans die every day. It is a truth that we saw recently on the TV when Queen Elizabeth II died, that we are going to die. Whether it's sports figures or TV figures or people that we saw and watched growing up and they pass away, and the truth keeps coming at us. Death is real. Death is certain. They often say at funerals of members of the church that they believed the day was coming, and so they prepared because they didn't know when it was going to come, but they believed it would come. And in that context, we encourage everyone to be ready for that day. All kinds of materials on the back. They're free in the back foyer. Take whatever you'd like. If you'd like to have a personal Bible study, you have questions, you're not sure, you want to get right with God, but you're not sure what you want to do, talk to one of us. We'd be glad to talk to you, study with you, talk maybe the person that invited you. We want to help people get ready for the coming of the Lord. And in that context, today's lesson is, do you know that you can be a baptized believer and still lose your soul? That we can be in Christ and lose our souls? It's the same point of the Old Testament, a different covenant, a different people, and they were a people who were in a relationship with God, but somehow they had the idea that they couldn't lose their soul. We'll see more of that in our lesson today. We're studying our Wednesday 1 o'clock class and 7 o'clock class in the book of Amos. And God warns them. He will destroy their nation. And they had their warnings. And the word of God, they just didn't believe it. Why, we're the people of God. God wouldn't do that to us. Do we believe the word of God? And here in this context, in our lesson today, Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles. We mentioned this in class. When Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles, he's also talking to all of us. But listen carefully. If the 12 apostles have to get this message, what about me? What about you? If the 12 apostles need to learn what Jesus said last week, we talked about when you pray, believe that you have received it, then that means I need to do that. And today's lesson and next week's lesson, we'll talk about that as well. And today, he's making the point to the truth, as we said last week, that God sets the boundaries in prayer. God has the right to set the boundaries in prayer. He has the right to say, I don't want to hear from you. He doesn't do that. He does say, ask, seek, knock. He's the one who says, as we saw last week, pray. And when you pray, believe that you have received it. That's God telling us to be positive when we ask for something in prayer. Believe that you have received it, past tense. But in that context, today's lesson is also from God setting a boundary. My gracious wife talks to me for now then. Did you know that? She asked me a question. The topic was, as a man thinketh in his heart, I'm looking at Proverbs 23:7. I can't find it. Well, that's a textual variant. Good question. Good catch. Did you catch that? In that context, chapter 23 is talking about a person who is stingy. And he's saying, eat, eat. He invites somebody out to eat or over his house. Eat, eat. And yet his words don't match his heart. And everything you eat, he's counting how much it costs him by every bite you take. So here's a person that's words say one thing, but his heart is something very different. And that's what the context of as a man thinketh in his heart is all about. We won't go into the textual variant. We can talk about that another time. Buy me a cup of coffee. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We can talk about that. It's well within the text there. But as again, as we say, run it through your Bible. In this context, a sister in Christ also called me this week. I said this in class. I get the sense that, like the cartoon I posted on Facebook, that, you know, the grocery stores change everything at night because we know where everything is. And they get glee out of that. Wait, it's not here anymore. Where did it go? You know, and so in that context, I ask somebody for help. They work there. They stock the shelves. Where is this? Sometimes they know. Sometimes they don't know. A sister called me about a passage in the Bible. Call me. Okay, I'm not saying I know where it is. I got a concordance and electronic. We might help you. That's fine. Give me a call. Give me a text. But she said that she heard someone say that man changed the day that we should worship. That man changed it from Sunday, it should be Saturday. No, he didn't. Man didn't change it. God changed it. Acts 20 and verse 7, and all the New Testament speak about, that's Old Testament. And this is what I said last week, don't believe everything you hear. There's a lot of junk out there. People say a lot of things that are wrong, religiously. Run it through your Bible. Don't even trust who's ever standing in this pulpit. Run it through your Bible. That is where the authority is, the words of Christ, what we're going to look at today. And in this context, we're here to help. We're here to help people who are dealing with things that are difficult. Now, we have in our culture all kinds of things happening. Here's an ad from 1950. Yes, I'm a doctor. You can't see it from there. The paper got wet. I had to dry it out. Yes, I'm a doctor. I advise smokers and my patients to smoke Girard cigars. In fact, I smoke them myself. There's nothing unusual about this either. Hundreds of physicians nowadays take the same advice and the reasonable view of the Girard cigar. Where are you going to get your values? Oh, now, it's a different story now. But they're not running those ads anymore, are they? Where will you get your value? Where will I get my values? Well, let's imagine for just a moment that you attend college. Maybe you attended North Carolina. Maybe you attended Oklahoma. Maybe you attended in Texas. Maybe you went to Notre Dame. Maybe you went to pick a school. West Virginia. Okay, West Virginia. Diane Wells is going to leave. Rick Wells took a turn for the worse. She's going to West Virginia. They moved into West Virginia University Medical Center. Just don't know how long she'll be gone. Where will you get your values? Will you get your values from your school? Well, you get some things from your school. You get some things from your political party, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green, whatever it is. But do you get your biblical worldview from the Word of God or from your political party? Do you get it from your school or from God? What if the two go opposite? Again, I was a college student and a young girl, friend of mine, and her boyfriend, she thought she was pregnant. She wrote me. I thought, I know the Bible says something about this that I can help her, but I didn't know what it was, so I went and talked to Jimmy Allen. Jimmy Allen gave me some advice, some scriptures I wrote to her. I found out she wasn't pregnant, but he insisted. He said, now make sure You talk to this girl about not ending that child with abortion. We talk, and again, in this case, she finds out she wasn't pregnant. Jimmy Allen's own story was, his mother was single and got pregnant by a politician. I know you can't imagine that. That's his story. He tells it. We live in a culture where Roe v. Wade has just been overturned. And now people are all up and set. All it means is what it was right before Roe v. Wade, where the states will decide. But even in that, where will you go to get your information? Amos chapter 1 tells that God calls the country of Amnon into judgment, that he will judge and end that nation, because in war they ripped open pregnant women and killed their babies. And God's going to end that nation. What will he do to America for the millions of babies that have been killed? Well, my political party, listen, it's what does God say? God tells the prophet, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. God talks about each one of us. He carried you and me from when we were inside our mother's womb. Life begins from the definition of God. Where will we get our values? Again, this first slide this morning, the case of Roe v. Wade, if you don't know, the woman who was on her third child, she was married to an alcoholic. And in Texas, they said, well, just say you're raped so you can get an abortion. She fought the case because some legal people took the case because they wanted to push it. This is a slide from August 1995. F. Norma McCovey is being baptized in Garland, Texas, in a swimming pool. This is the baby she wanted to abort. Of course, she gave birth, and this lady, of course, works with pro-life. Her mother was Norma McCarvey, I'm probably saying that wrong, in the famous case. But many, many issues. What will we use to determine our values? The Supreme Court? The Senate? The House? The Congress? The President? Or will we turn to the Word of God? We mentioned already Amos 1:13, God calls a nation for judgment, but it can be forgiven. It can be forgiven. I've worked with people, and I've talked to people who've been forgiven of this, yet they still struggle with it. But unless we acknowledge it as a sin and come for forgiveness, that's a different story. God is a gracious, forgiving God. And people don't always listen to God and His Word. They don't always follow His directions. They think, I know what I'm doing, I'll do it my way. And maybe I need to get some help from God. God's plan is forgiveness. But that's a different story than calling evil good and good evil. Jesus says something here about prayer. And God in the flesh tells us how to pray. It's a divine statement. It's God giving boundaries about prayer and forgiveness. Again, listen to the part we're going to look at today. Mark 11:25. And when you pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. The key point and the first step in forgiveness is you have been wronged. Now again, like I said last week on the topic of praying big prayers, this week, and I know what next week's topic is, God will want to know, are we going to do this or just listen to it? Because this is where we really live. I don't know. I don't get offended at the mayor of Moscow. Maybe somebody here knows who the mayor of Moscow is. I don't think anybody may know offhand. But I don't get offended at the mayor of Moscow. I don't get offended at the mayor of Beijing, China. It's people a lot closer to my home than that. And here Jesus repeats this on the Sermon on the Mount. Let's compare these two statements of what he just said. Mark 11:24-25 and Matthew 6:12 in this slide. This is how you should pray. After he says it in the Lord's Prayer, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now this is where we live. What is he saying? Well, he says it in an application of the Lord's Prayer of Matthew 6:12. What does he pray in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Maybe because of the English language, you don't know what that means. It also reads in some translation, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You want to know the Greek, the meaning of the original? The New Living Translation says this best. Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Forgive us our sins, since we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Forgive us our sins because we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Now again, this is God in the flesh giving us boundaries about prayer. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. This is what it says. And so, we'll talk about forgiveness, what it is and what it's not, next week. Jesus is saying, if we want to be forgiven, these are his words, we're to pray to the Father, forgive my sins, because I've forgiven those who sinned against me. Last week he tells us to be positive. And specifically, when I pray in my heart and I do not forgive others, God will not forgive me. Again, do you know more? The Bible says more about money and than baptism or evangelism. And Jesus uses money to use an example of forgiveness. And you look at all those parables about money. It's about giving account and forgiveness from God. Sometimes it's stewardship. It was the Civil War. Some people still call it the war between the states. Some people still fight in that war. And in that context, when something happens to us, we become angry and bitter and resentful. Well, I'm not going to forgive them. Well, Robert E. Lee was talking to a person after the war. Now, Robert E. Lee was asked by Abraham Lincoln to lead the Union forces. That's what he thought of Robert E. Lee, and he said no. And he went to Virginia and led the Southern Confederate forces. After the war, Robert E. Lee was talking to a Southern woman, and she was talking and showing him her farm and this tree and what the Yankees did to her and what the Yankees did to this tree and what the Yankees did to her farm. And she was angry and bitter and resentful. And Robert E. Lee said, "Dear lady, cut the tree down." You see, forgiveness is about my heart. We're afraid they're going to get away with it. God will take care of it. God, who let his son die on a cross of a crucifixion of a wicked, angry man, understands about justice. What he's talking about when he says this is about my heart and your heart. Because forgiveness is saying, I'm going to give this to God. I'm not going to be the judge, jury, and executioner. The first step in forgiveness is we've been treated wrong. And there in that context, I'm reading a book called The Bait of Satan. The bait of Satan is really very simple. We take offense at something, and in that context, our feelings get hurt, and we are pulling our emotions into it, and we walk away from God. And this writer says that's the bait of Satan. How many times have Christians got hurt and offended, and that bait by Satan caused them to leave Christ, or me, or you? Bait catches the fish. This is how Satan to get us to walk away. I started by saying, remember, the church could be baptized believer and lose their soul if their heart is bitter, resentful, hatred, and unforgiving. You see, it's not just getting in the water. It's following Christ. And here he wants to clean us from the inside out. And he knows people. And he knows what sin does to us. And so he doesn't just pick sin out of the air and say, well, you know, don't murder, and don't lie, and don't steal. He knows how it hurts people. He doesn't just say, don't commit adultery, because he knows how it destroys lives in multiple ways. And so here, Jesus is telling us, when you pray, forgive those who sin against you. See, this is where we really live. And I can't tell what's in your heart. This is what the Word of God says. And we go from this place. That's our job this week, to try to put that into practice and say, okay, this is what my Lord, my Master said to do. If I'm going to follow him, if I'm going to seek first his kingdom, that means I do what he says. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Maybe we can see this a little better because as we see how we have been forgiven, what God has done for us, God is reminding us to do that for others. In that context, Jesus tells a story using money. Here's a man, he knows an enormous amount of money. Translated to today's, he takes an amount that would be equal to all the tax revenue of all the countries around Israel. So for us, that we owe a debt equal to the national debt of America. Of course, they got a clock that ticks every second. And that's the amount, how much we owe God. And the story Jesus says, the man asked for repayment. Let's reconstruct this loan. And the master said, we'll just wipe it clean. We'll just forgive it. And then that servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him about 3 months' wages. We can understand that. And the same guy said, give me repayment. Structure, restructure this. I'm having trouble with this loan. Would you give me some restructuring? You know, he threw him in prison. And the master heard it and brought him back and said, did I show mercy on you? Should you not have had mercy on this? Jesus makes the point. So my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. We can be a baptized believer. We can be following the Lord and be angry, resentful, and filled with hate and bitterness and unforgiving and lose our souls. And that's on us. Now, how do you do that? We'll talk about that some next week, but maybe a picture will be worth a couple thousand words. There's nothing new here. C.S. Lewis in our next slide teaches the truth. Okay, the slide. This is the Lord's Prayer. The slide after that. Forgive me for that. It means that God wants us to forgive the inexcusable in others because he's forgiven the inexcusable in us. And the same thing in the next slide. Being negative, resentful, angry, vengeful, or optimist, forgiveness, or empathy are choices that we make. It's in our hands to choose when evil comes our way. When someone mistreats us, will we be bitter, resentful, or we look to the Lord to see, look how he did it. Following in his steps, as Peter talks about, and this is where he's talking about, unjust suffering and forgiveness. And again, we'll take a couple thousand words off the sermon for these pictures. The next one. Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong or better. Forgiveness does not make you weak. It sets you free. I can tell you, but I'm not going to. A people who told me this situation, what happened, and they forgave this person, and they said, I'm the one that was set free. Our next slide, Corrie Ten Boom, who went through the Holocaust, whose family were killed in the Holocaust. Forgiveness holds the key that unlocks the door of resentment. Now, these are not people who just had an easy life and everything's going well. They went through the Holocaust. She watched her parents die. A forgiveness project by Dr. Fred Luskin. And he worked with people in Ireland who were killed by the IRA and people in Africa who were killed through apartheid and all over the world before they got this material. And Stanford University thought so much of it, they brought him there and set up the forgiveness project. Because this is what we need. How do we forgive? Again, Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom writes, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free. The next slide. Only to find that the prisoner was me. You see, that's what the point here in this text is. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks as he goes through the chapter that there's evil in the world. But he describes our response so that my heart doesn't become evil, and ends with, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God knows there's evil in the world, but he doesn't want us to become evil. He wants us to follow Christ. Well, Jesus commands it. Now, what will we do? What will I do? He who will not forgive breaks the bridge over which he must pass. It's hard to forgive others if you've never been forgiven by God. I'm not saying it's not possible. And we've seen great examples of forgiveness. We're not going to go through them right now. But you see, what comes to my mind first was the parents in the Amish community of Pennsylvania who had a murderer committing murder of their children. And they were able to forgive that man. How is that possible? Well, here's how that's possible. By coming to a sense of what Christ has forgiven us. and calls for us to follow in his steps, to forgive. We talked last week about we have the power to choose. And this is right the same point. We have the power to choose our response, choose our attitude. I'm not saying you haven't been treated wrong. I'm saying I have been treated wrong. But what will I do? Will I let that fester inside of me? Will I let that make me filled with hate? Will I follow my Lord's example? I came to Christ and found forgiveness. Have you? Have you chosen Christ? It's hard to do these without following Christ. It's easier if you're his follower. The lesson is yours. The application I said is when we walk out this door. But if you've never put Christ on at baptism, if you've never come to him and found the forgiveness of sin, or maybe you have and you think you've sinned too much for him to come back. No. Jesus himself tells three stories in Luke 15 that the angels in heaven would rejoice if one person today came back to God. Do you need to come back to God? Why don't you come as we stand and sing?